Lord, we just turn to you, and we know, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan for each day, particularly as we come together and look to you. So, Lord, we ask that you would guide our time this morning, both with the children in the back, as already has been prayed, and our time here now, that we would open our hearts and our minds to you, and that we would be willing to respond to what you give us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, if you don't have a bulletin, you'll need one. There's some verses and stuff on the back. Raise your hand if you want one. It's like Stacy's at work there. So, this morning, this is a bit, this isn't sort of my normal thing of we're teaching through a book of the Bible and study and this stuff outline kind of pours out of that. This is really more of this is personal. And this is more poured out of life experience. Maybe a long time life experience, but particularly the last couple of years, things have been different for us. And there's a couple of approaches to this, and you can see them in the title there. One is this thing has just been on my mind is what is required to grow? What is required to grow in the Lord? You know, it's not okay for us to stay where we are. It's not okay. And the other part of this is what do we need to be doing to prepare for when God calls us? Because we know, and there's some verses here that we'll look at, that one is Ephesians 2:10 that says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for us. The problem with God is, I say that, you know, tongue in cheek. The problem with God is, he doesn't always give us much advance warning. We need to be preparing. And this really was emphasized to me in this really practical manner in my life is at the kind of at the many, many years ago in my late 20s, I was floundering and I had no direction. And I, you know, those are just difficult, especially at that age. It's just kind of a difficult, it's a difficult time. And so this thing came to me as I'm going to narrow my life down and I'm going to, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to do these things. I'm going to do these things every day. And the things I decided that were important for me to do is the main thing is I was going to spend time alone with God every day, in the Word and in prayer. Every day, that was going to be the focus of my day. Obviously, I had to get up and go to work and those things. But the other thing is that I was going to work out. I know that surprised you. I was going to train hard. And the other thing is I was going to train hard with my friends. And I was going to continue to build relationships with my friends. And there was one more, but I seem to have forgotten it. the other thing is I was going to read. I was going to read whatever I was passionate about. I was going to read and study, whatever that was. And God really, it's like years later, he made this clear to me that those things that he put on my heart and on my mind when I had nothing, I was like kind of desperate and I had nothing, no direction. I was floundering. And when I focused and said, I'm going to do these things, every single one of those things, something came, something definite came out of it. You know, it wasn't long. I think that this was what was related to when most of you are familiar with the firm foundations that we taught here and other places around the world even, that I believe that came out of that time. Another thing that came out of this, I know this may be not, it's not very spiritual, but so I decided to train and train. I was training hard, working out for what reason, I don't know. I didn't know. And a coach approached me and said, hey, there's going to be tryouts for the USA bobsled team in 3 weeks up in the University of Maryland. Can you be ready? That's it. I've been training all my life for this. Yeah, I'll be ready. When God calls you, you just don't know when that call is going to come. And Abraham Lincoln said this thing that impacted me. He said, I will prepare and someday my chance will come. And we need to be in this mindset of preparing, and we're going to do whatever we can do to grow. We have to put ourselves in a position to hear from God and respond to God. And so, you know, these last 2 years for us, there's things that have been taken away that we haven't had all the things. All these things on the, I've got a list for you here. It's just kind of practical. There's a list there. And it's like, a lot of these things are not in my life right now. And they haven't been for the last couple of years. And so, in keeping with the theme that's been going on for the new year, and Alfred had a list, and Pat kind of had a list, and so I'm going to give you a list too. And it's kind of looking towards the new year of, you cannot be content where you are. You cannot be satisfied, comfortable. God has something for you. And it may be happening now, or it may be going to happen tomorrow, but we need to prepare and we need to grow. And so, all these things on this list, they may not be available to you. So, you know, when Paul was thrown in prison, he didn't have availability of all these things on this list. He was very limited. He did what he could do. He worshiped. He prayed. And if he was there with a fellow believer, one of his, he maintained that relationship. So he did about three things in that prison. That's all he could do. Maybe for 2 years, that's all he could do. But he did everything he could do to prepare and to grow. And so there are times in our lives when we can't do everything that we need to do, in a sense, to grow. Some things are taken from us. But when we have the opportunity, we need to take that step and do. So this is probably a little oversimplification, but I've just made this list for us. Is a checklist. Are these things in your life? Do you want to grow? If you don't, then something's wrong. And whether you want to or not, you need to take some action to prepare for what God has for you. So there's a warning here, though, is that you can fool yourself, because you can go through and you can check these things off. If you go to a good church, you basically can check all these things off almost automatically, kind of. But we can go through the motions. What I'm talking about on this list is that we are engaging God over these things. So you can get up every morning and read your Bible. And so, you know, there's no point for reading your Bible every day for the last 342 days. Yeah, okay, I'll say good job, high five, but that's not the point. The point is, are you engaging God over His Word? And so that really fits with the rest of this list. If you meet a friend for coffee, are you just meeting for coffee and talking? That's good. You may even talk about spiritual things. But are you engaging God over that conversation? Is it real? Is it deep? Is it from the heart? It doesn't have to be deep. It can just be the times that you just run in, you just have a casual conversation. But are you engaging God over those things? So, again, I'll tell you that. Things I emphasize, you may not emphasize. We're all different. You know, my sister, any place she's ever lived, and I think I've probably told you stories about this before, but she always has a piano, and I've moved that piano more times than I, it's one of those old, heavy things, and I've moved that piano many times, in not very good circumstances always. And there's always that piano in her living room, though, and you go into her house, you will catch her beating it out on that piano and busting it out, just singing and praising God. And if that's missing from her life, things aren't the same in her relationship with the Lord. If she can't worship God and play that piano, things are not the same in her relationship with the Lord. You know what, though? I have never come home and said, Lori, where is the piano? We have got to get a piano. This is missing from my life. See, that's not me. I tried for 2 years. I took piano lessons, and I tried, and then I got booted. I got kicked out, so it didn't work for me. You see, so we all are different. And so as we go through this list, really, we are depending on the Holy Spirit to make clear to you. So this could be, you could go through this list, and you may say, yeah, that's pretty basic, Steve. I kind of know that. Or you may say, this is kind of overwhelming. I don't know if I can do all these things. What we're looking for is that missing ingredient. What's that thing that's going to get you to take the next step, to grow, to become conformed to the image of God, and to do all the things that He has planned for you to do? And I pray that prayer with Caleb many times, is that we'll pray together that we will do everything today that God has planned for us to do. It's almost a silly prayer. God is sovereign, but this is the This is the way God works, though. So I want you to listen to God and take action. So you have your notes there in front of you. God, this is how God works. This is how God works, and He will speak to you. So take a next step. It's kind of like the domino. All these things are connected, but there's one that you can tip over, and it'll just start things going. So whatever that domino is for you, the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit's job, not mine. So I'm just going to go through my list and expect God to be working. So God will use these disciplines and activities to conform you to the image of Christ and to put you to work. So, we're going to read some verses. Let me read a couple more verses. There's one in, it's just short, a portion of the verse, Philippians 2:12, that says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean that we're saved through working, obviously, when you look at that in context. But what it is work out your deliverance from Satan, your deliverance from the flesh, your growth. Work it out with fear and trembling. That means that these things, God is sovereign, He works in your life, but He expects you to be in a place to hear from Him. And this, sometimes this is intense, and it's through fear and trembling. It takes some effort, some discipline on your part. And so, we have our list here to go through. And I think that's all of my little preliminaries. We'll get started. first on the list. So, Carlton, you guys know, was here. Is that a week ago? I don't remember. Some week ago. And so Carlton's been in kind of a situation in his life where a lot of things have been taken from him. And his life kind of narrowed down. I said, Carlton, what do you think? And you know what? As soon as I say Carlton, I kind of get everybody's attention, because when there's somebody you're around that's a godly person that loves God and lives for Him, you kind of know, you want to know what their opinion, you want to know what they think. And so that was the reason I asked Carlton, you've had some things missing in your life. What do you think is required to grow in the Lord, to be prepared to be used by Him? It's like Carlton had been studying all day. You know, Carlton usually sits and thinks for about 5 minutes before he answers your question, but he just answered me just immediately, like he's already thinking about this. I said, what do you think, Carlton? He said, repentance. I said, whoa. You know, when you know a godly person, you don't think, well, there's going to be that much to repent of. They don't do anything, stuff I do. They don't think like I think, you know. But that was Carlton's first response, was repentance. And then he went on to, I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, this is a quote from him. I wrote it. I grabbed my pen when he was talking and I made some notes. And he said this: change the way we think, what we do, how we do it, our purpose, our desires, give up my self-will. Acknowledge a change needs to take place. So, if you're going to get anything out of what we talk about this morning, the first thing that has to happen is you have to acknowledge there needs to be a change. There's a missing ingredient in my life. Something needs to happen for me to grow in the Lord. Something needs to happen for me to be put to work to impact the world for Christ. And there's a saying in the Old Testament you will find often, and it is, break up your fallow ground. You know, if you've been around agriculture at all, you know that come springtime, over the winter and stuff, the ground has gotten hard. And you can't just go out there and just throw seed on the ground and expect anything to happen. It's a little painful. That plow has to get in there, and you have to harrow up. You have to harrow up the hard surface and soften it up to prepare for what is going to happen next, for that growth that's going to happen. And that needs to happen with us. And that happens through repentance. It's turning to God and saying, God, I know this thing is in my life. I've been ignoring it. I've been ignoring this attitude. I've been ignoring this thought. I've been ignoring this attitude. I've been ignoring this lack of thing I need to do, but I haven't been doing it. Help me. Help me. I acknowledge I need to change. So without that acknowledgement, without this harrowing, this breaking up of the fallow ground, there will be no growth. There is no spring. There is no planting. There is no harvest unless first there's a breaking up of the hard-heartedness, that fallow ground. And this whole verse goes like this: so with a view to righteousness, Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. It is time to seek the Lord. Whatever and wherever you have been, it is time. It's time to repent and to seek God and then take action on what he has for you next. Have you ever been in a closer walk with God than you are now? I don't mean just feelings, but have you ever been in a closer walk? Have you ever been more intimate with God than you are now? Well, what was there then that is not there, that is not in your life now? These things need to be examined. This is what I was examining. So I don't speak to you from my high horse. These things are for me. These things are for me. I look at this next year. I want these things back in my life that are missing. So, number two on our list, and so I thought we'd just go ahead and get this one out of the way because you know it's coming. It's easy. It's just so basic, but here it is. The Word. The Word. God's Word. You can't ignore, you can't neglect God's Word and expect to grow. Psalm 25:14 says, the Lord confides, listen to the personableness of this. This is God, your Creator, sovereign God. He says this to you, the Lord confides. I get this picture, God whispering in my ear. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. But if you're not in His covenant, if you're not in the Word, if you're not reading His Word, meeting God over the Word, engaging with God over the Word, how is He going to be confiding and whispering in your ear? You're not going to hear Him. This is just so basic. Two, preparing for what God has for you next and for your growth that He expects. And how about this? Psalm 119:16. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Can you say this now to yourself, to God? I delight in your decrees, but I have neglected your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your decrees. I want you, God, whispering in my ear. I want you confiding in me. I want to know you. Then I must engage with you over your word. That doesn't mean I just sit and have a cup of coffee and just read numbly through. No. I break up the fallow ground. I turn to God. I expect Him to confide in me. And He does. And I meet with God over His word. If I want to grow, it's going to be absolutely necessary. Let's go to Acts 2:42 real quick. And we're going to, this is a common verse. We've read it a million times. But look, this sort of puts a lot of these things kind of in one little spot, both for a church and for us individually. It says, there, they devoted, talking about the early church when things were just hopping, things were growing, God was moving. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the New Testament, that's the word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And all those other things we're going to look at some point this morning too. Do you desire God? Are you feeding that flickering flame with the fuel of His Word? That little desire, maybe it used to be a bonfire, but maybe it's flickering. If you have a flickering, any desire for God, then fuel that fire with His Word. Not just with His Word, but meeting with God Himself over His Word. Here's another aspect is hearing the Word. So, two bonus points. You're sitting here right now and you're hearing the Word. You know that God changes and transforms you through the foolishness of preaching? Think of right now as we read His Word together, if you will open your heart and mind to God, He will transform you as you sit. This is God. He chose to do this. It's sort of like God has a smile on His face as He chooses, because I'm sitting here, and anybody else is standing up here, struggles with the very same things you struggle with. We struggle with the same flesh, the same devil that you struggle with, same thought. We are the same. You know it. I know it. So when I stand here to teach or preach to you, I know my weakness. You know my weakness. It'd be easy to just say, what's the use? But God says, it's good for you. It's good for me. This is how God works, through the foolishness of preaching. So make sure you're hearing God's word. You're reading yourself and you're hearing it. Sometimes that hearing it comes in different forms. Maybe you have a passion to read biographies about people that have really known God and served. Well, then you need to be doing those things. Or maybe you really like driving to work every day. Instead of listening to Rush, you could turn over and you could listen to some preaching. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, where's your heart? Where's your what? Listen to God's word. It will transform you. Listen to his word. Read his word. Give the word a stronger place in your life. God powerfully uses it to transform you and prepare you. There's something coming. There's something coming. It may be something super exciting and big, and it may be something extremely hard. But something's coming down the pike, and you need to prepare for it. And this is one of the ways that you prepare. Okay, number three. This sounds almost silly, doesn't it? What fires you up? You know, we can neglect the things that fire us up. You know, it's because sometimes the things that fire us up are costly. They require some effort, some sacrifice, some focus. And so we neglect the very things that inspire us. What inspires you to serve God? Does anything come to your mind? What inspires you to serve? Anybody want to share with us anything? Feel free. What inspires you? It's Stacy, I bet music is coming up here. I bet that inspires you to serve God, to know Him more. It would be easy if you don't feel good to neglect this. Well, no, sometimes it takes some effort to do the very things that inspire you and motivate you. Being around a certain person sometimes can inspire you to know. Then you need to make an effort to be around that person. What inspires you? Maybe teaching the kids inspires you. Maybe missions inspires you. Then it's hard to be involved in missions, isn't it? It takes some effort. We've done that a lot here, and that takes some effort. But some certain people seem that just motivates you, gets them inspired to be involved with missions, to give their money, to give their time, their effort. Do what inspires you. And sometimes it's not spiritual. Sometimes it's getting back on the horse. Do what inspires you, but give it to God. Sometimes the things that inspire us, God takes away because we have taken a hold of them for ourselves, and we've used them for our own vainglory rather than the purpose and the cause of God. Now, He wants us to, sorry, Kathleen, do this again, but get back on the horse. He wants us to do that, but He wants us to do those things that inspire us for the sake and cause of Him in the world. So if something is missing, develop those things to the fullest that inspire you to know God and to serve Him. But if God's taking something away, pay attention to that. Maybe there was too much self in it, and God took it away. He removed it. So even though it's something you love, it can become sacrificial, and it can take some of your comfort away, and that's okay. Think about this. What inspired Paul? You know, I think missionary journeys inspired Paul. Yeah. I think Paul would be something to start thinking about this trip across Turkey and the people and the cultures and the need. And the more he thought about it, the more he prayed about it, the more pumped up he got. So it would have been an easy thing for him to say, well, you know, I really need to make a living, and this is my home church here. They need me, and I've got these friends here. I don't want to. It was a sacrifice. And then, you know, really, I'm getting a little older, man. I just turned 50. Not me, Paul. I did turn that a long time ago. I just turned 50, and my bones are a little achy. I don't want to sleep on the ground anymore, and I don't want to walk that far. This is hard. I don't want to be on those ships. It took some sacrifice. But the sacrifice led to that inspiration and that being used fully by God. Paul said, for Christ's love compels us to do this. You see, it was something that inspired him. He was passionate about it. Next one, number four. Are you ready for this? Don't look at me like that, Pat. Attitude. Attitude. I'm going to tell you, you can be doing all these other things or think you're doing all these other things. Really. You can be all these other things, but you've got this ball and chain. You can't move. You can't make any progress because of your stinking attitude. It will stop you in your tracks. I told you I was preaching to myself, right? God convicted me of this thing. And I heard this thing. I knew I needed to be hearing more word and preaching. And so I'd forgotten where the stations were here when we got here. So I'm finally looking around. Finally, I find the station and I'm listening. And the very first thing I hear is this guy talking about the children of Israel murmuring and complaining and being stuck in the wilderness because they were murmuring and complaining. And they limited what God was desiring to do with them, and they had no joy. And they kept on murmuring and complaining, and God got pretty sick of it. And I go, oh, oops. Now, you know, some people, I have a certain amount of a relationship savvy, you know. And so although I'm sure this slipped out in our conversations, but I kind of know that if you want to hang out with me, you don't really want to hear me complaining all the time. So I kind of learned when to shut my mouth and complaining to people, but I still had those thoughts driving in my head, you know. So really I'm complaining to God. I'm murmuring against God. And there goes my joy. And really there goes anything else. Anything else. It's the ball and chain. I can sit and be reading the Bible every single day. I can be thinking I'm praying. And all God's hearing is this murmuring and complaining, and I've been stopped dead in my tracks because of it. It hugely impacts your growth and your preparation, and you will get stuck in the wilderness when He wants to take you to the promised land. And murmuring is the thing that sticks you. And everybody's looking for their phone. That's mine, isn't it? God has a special disdain for this. Let's go to this. Let's go to Numbers. Let's just go. It talks about it even in the New Testament. Paul talks about it was for our example that they went through this. And it talks about be careful that you don't do what they did, that you don't murmur in the wilderness like they did. But let's go directly to the source. We'll go right to Numbers. We'll read it firsthand instead of where it's explained in the New Testament. So Numbers 11. Verse 1 and verse 10. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when He heard them, His anger was aroused. Now, their hardships were real, were they not? They were in the desert. It wasn't comfortable. Their hardships were real. They had a right to complain and a murmur, right? They were just venting, right? God, it made God mad. It made Him mad. He got angry. You say, oh, no, that's not my God. Same one. He got angry at them. And then go down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry. Exceedingly angry. And Moses was troubled. It was not a happy thing. And it was not good. These guys, they can't even move. Have you ever been? They can't even move. They're standing at their door, their tent, and they're falling on their beds, and you may literally do that, or you just may do that in your mind, where nothing is working out for me. You know, this is happening to me again. This is another thing, another illness, another test, another failure. It will stop you in your tracks to murmur and complain against God. It will take your joy, and it will stick you in the desert. It will stick you in the wilderness. And you go, what do I do? What do I do? Go back to number one. That's what you do. And then Psalm, I wanted to read Psalm 104. This is God. This is a completely separate thing. It's not really connected to that. But here, it's just revealing the heart of God. So, you know, you come to the temple. They would travel to the temple to be in the presence of God. And to come, they'd have to go through the gates and into the courtyard. And what does God say? When you enter the gate, that's the very outward part when you're coming in. When you enter the gate, you enter with thanksgiving. If your day is going good, then you enter with thanksgiving. You come. God's presence is in us. We're in His presence all the time. He wants us to have a thankful heart. He wants us to be thankful, no matter what. He doesn't like our murmuring and complaining. And He's not just talking about the outward to our friends. If you're a smart enough person to keep your mouth shut, the same thing applies. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Now, just to rattle our cage a little bit, I'm gonna put under attitude. I know this is probably not theologically appropriate, but under attitude, I'm gonna put faith. Because an outward manifestation of faith is attitude. Do you believe what God has clearly said? Do you believe what God has clearly said? You know, I was reading the other day in this thing, and this one little blurb, one little line in John 4:50. I'd never noticed it before. It's just one little line. And this guy had traveled all the way across the country to find Jesus because his son was ill and his son was dying. And this man found Jesus and he said, "Jesus, my son is dying." And Jesus said, your son will live. The guy said, "Okay, I got you. I'm out of here." He just believed him. He just believed him. It says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. It didn't talk about all his big response. It didn't talk about, the man just said, "Okay, see ya." He believed him and he departed. Got home, sure enough, his son was well. He said, "I know this, but I just want you to tell me, what time was it that he got well?" And they told him, "I knew it. That was right when Jesus said the word. That was right when Jesus said the word." He believed him and he departed. Simple. His faith. What was that guy like? He didn't know his son was better yet. So if on the way home he's grumpy and nobody can say anything to him and everybody's like understanding because, well, his son is dying and I understand he has a bad attitude. Do you think he had a bad attitude? I don't think he had a bad attitude. Why? He had faith. He believed Jesus. He believed what he said. Do you believe that God is working all things out to your good? Do you believe that? I'm talking to myself. Do I believe that? Do I believe that? Well, that will change my attitude. That will change my attitude. And if my attitude is not where it should be, I'm not believing it. So that's where I'm connecting faith and attitude. I'm putting faith under the attitude category for us. Next, number five, fellowship and relationships. Remember, we're talking about these ingredients. It's like we're making this big pot of gumbo and we're throwing all this important stuff in. You know, you better have some shrimp in there. You better have some sausage in there. There's some things you need. There's some little things. You need some salt and some pepper. You need some cayenne pepper and you need some stuff in there if it's going to. And don't leave anything out. There's that one ingredient that's missing. What's missing in your pot of gumbo? It may be something small. But you need to pay attention. Maybe it's here. Maybe it's under this next thing. Relationships. There are different levels of relationships. And one, this builds, it's like this funnel. This thing, this is going to narrow down. This, we'll approach this and we're going to do it quickly. But, you know, I'm giving you guys a lot of points today. Two more points because you're here. Like this is, right now, we are, in a sense, it's a little one-sided, but we're in conversation. And, you know, when we close, you know, say the prayer, amen, you know what's going to happen? I see it every single Sunday. We're going to sit on the chairs. We're going to mill around in here. And there's going to be conversation. And there's going to be laughter. And people are talking about the game. And they're going to talk about breakfast. And it's like, it's good. It's good. You know what? When we came back, when we first came back here, one of the very first things I noticed was that, you know, we went to, you know, we had some good churches back there, and it's like, but one thing I noticed was that, okay, amen. Well, how did 500 people disappear in 0.2 seconds? One thing I noticed, it's like, you know, I was sitting over here, and the service over, and people were, and my thought, here's my thought. These people love each other. That was a powerful, nothing deep was going on. That was a powerful thing to my soul to see that. Now we need to go further with it. It's good. And so we are, we're here, we're milling around, we're talking. That is a level of fellowship. And that needs to happen. And you're experiencing that today. You know, and when we get together, you know, I saw, did y'all see any of the pictures of people's little New Year's Eve gatherings? You know, some of them were pretty strange and silly. Yes, too, but it's fellowship. It's good. That's one level of fellowship. Now, if that's the only level of fellowship that you have, then you need to throw a little something else in the pot, because there needs to be more than that. There needs to be time when it's not just talking about the game and the whatever else, and breakfast. There also needs to be a deeper level of fellowship. So, and we read that in Acts 2:42. I hope you could turn back there yourself and just glance at that, and you see, whoa, there's some intensity to that. So there needs to be some kind of gathering with God's purposes in mind. That could be, we need to be a part of something. Like, this is great. There needs to be a gathering where there's a small group. I'm not going to put any restrictions or whatever, tell you exactly how that needs to happen. It could be a Bible study. It could be just, we're getting together for God's purposes. We're going to pray. We're going to share what God's doing in our life. We're going to do a Bible study. We're going to go through this book. God will guide you. But that needs to be, there needs to be that in our life if we're going to grow. I think, I bet most everybody here has been a part of that at now or at some other time. And if you look back honestly, that was a key ingredient to your growth, is that time when you put aside the things of the world and something was required of you. Like, you had to share, you had to have input, you had to receive and give, and it had to do with the deep things of God. And that was that iron sharpening iron, and it was absolutely necessary. I can remember when we used to come here in the morning with the guys, and I've had a lot, I've had most of these things we list, most for the last 30 years, that's a long time. I've had most of these things in my life. Like I said, these last 2 years, a lot of these things were removed, and so I began to miss them severely. But at different times, but that's one of the times I look back, when the guys used to come here early. It cost something. We got up here early on Friday morning, and we did things like, we studied about how to be a leader, we also did things like these accountability questions, where it was awkward. We'd break up in these smaller groups and we would ask each other these accountability questions about the week. Did you look at anything on the internet? Inappropriate? Did you handle your finances okay? How did you treat your family? All these types of things. We just ask each other these questions. We'd read them off the list. And it was a little bit awkward. You know, it's like, okay, good. You know. But we weren't intending to do that indefinitely. It was taking a step of, this is a part of a relationship. It's not the main part, but accountability is a part of relationships. And how do we get it into, this is our method, this is how we got it in there, of where we got to be a little, pretty soon we didn't read the questions anymore. That's sort of fake, you know, we didn't read the questions to each other. We didn't, you know, I didn't show up on Sunday morning, Ken, come here, I got some questions to ask you here, let's go through this. But no, it becomes a part of your makeup, a part of your culture. This is how we're accountable to one another. It's a critical part of growth, this iron sharpened iron, this word God, it's God-centered, and it's deep. Now there's another level too. You see, that was where you see we're going down the funnel. There's another level of partnership, life sharing, where iron truly sharpens iron, and spurring on to wholeheartedness is commonplace. Where, you know, are there those certain people you can get with? And it's like you feel inspired to give yourself more fully and wholly to God. That needs to be happening, really, that needs to be happening on a regular basis. Where you have friends like that. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. It's that needs to be. Now, so that doesn't happen overnight, does it? That or maybe it just gradually faded out of your life. Well, fade it back in. If you want to be all that God has called you to be, it's more available other times than not, but it's something that it's one of the secrets to, I think it's one of the secrets to Paul and what he was able to accomplish. You start reading between the lines and you see he talks about my son Timothy and he talks about my partner Epaphroditus and Titus, and these guys, they were partners. It's like they had this common goal, this purpose, and it wasn't about their little relationship. It was about they're moving and they're going somewhere together in partnership, and they just would boost each other up and spur each other on. And if you've ever had relationships like that, then you know this is an ingredient that needs to go in the gumbo. This needs to happen if I'm going to grow. I need to make this. It's easier not to have it. For a lot of us, it's easier not to have it. I get it. It's easier not to have it. It's easy to avoid. It's very easy to not have it. It takes some sacrifice and some effort to have it. Let's go to Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. If you have ever had a friend that you are striving as one person for the faith, to accomplish the purposes of God in the world, that sharpens you, rubs off the rough edges, it inspires you, it motivates you, it encourages you, almost like nothing else. Now, trust me here, I'm not getting on to you. I may be excited about this, but I'm not getting on to you. I'm not for not having it. Like I said, I've had these many gaps. I have many gaps in my life right now. I want these things back. I want these things back. And I hope you do too. I do think it's one of the secrets to what Paul, where he was and what he did, where his co-laborers, his partners in Christ. And you read through, go back and read through all of Paul's letters and start looking for this, and you go, wow, how did I miss that? How did I miss that? That was vital to who he was. Next step, number 6, we better get rolling. Life on life, gospel sharing. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. Man, I think my eyes have gotten worse since the last time I stood up here. Came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us. We lived among you for the sake of the God. That this life on life sharing, that you, this is a part of growth. You understand this. You look back here at Acts 2:42. A part of the fire that was burning there in the early church was gospel sharing. It was life on life. It was sharing your life with other people. It wasn't handing them a tract or something. It was sharing your life with them. It was loving them. It was sacrificing for them. It was building relationships with them. Yes, building relationships, friendships with the lost for the sake and the call of the gospel. Not out of a notch on your belt, but out of a love of Christ that compels you and a love for them. Life on life gospel sharing, that is a part of this thing that if you want to grow, if you want to be prepared, this is an ingredient that you should look for. Next, number 7. group vision and personal vision, not just surviving. There's in the King James Version, now, if you read this in other versions, it sounds a whole lot different. But this is a theme, though. I believe this is the theme throughout the Old Testament and of the New Testament, that where there is no vision, the people perish. Hey, Caleb. Where there is no vision, the people perish. From Proverbs 29:18, and that's in the King James. You know, when Jesus left his men, his apostles, they had been trained, they had these relationships, they had sat around the fire together, they ate together, they walked those roads together. They'd been sent out two by two to go and do this. And then when he left, he gave them, did he just leave and say, "Carry on, brothers"? He didn't. He gave them vision. He said, this is what I want you to be about. I want you to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And he could have just said, no matter the cost, go do this. And he said, I'll be with you. When you are about the purposes of God, there's a special promise that goes with this. I'll be with you. When you take on God's purpose in the world, I'll be with you. There'll be intimacy with God because you are in partnership with Him, taking on His purpose. You have to have vision. Vision is so critical. It's critical to a church. It's critical to you as an individual. Where are you going? What are you doing? How are you going to get there? What's your vision? What's your vision? What are you taking on? It's critical, I think, to growth, to being prepared for what God has you. Next is prayer. And, you know, as I thought through this, I came to this, maybe you already know this, there came this realization, you know, when all these things were in my life, I had a way dynamic prayer life. When some of these things began to be removed from my life, my prayer life became a bit of a struggle. And I thought, God, what is going on? This has always been the hallmark of my relationship with you, is prayer. Where is my prayer going? Why can't I pray like I used to pray? You see, prayer is like, it's so connected to all these other things. When you have vision, when you're sharing your faith, when you're in the Word, all these things, your prayer life just goes boom, 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 boom. It will become powerful and dynamic. So I've kind of put this as that the more all these other things are desired, they might not even be there yet, the more they're desired and happening, the more powerful and intimate your prayer life will be. It will happen. Let's go to this Colossians 4:2. Devote, and that is a strong word in the Greek, we won't get into it, but devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And listen, see how this goes right into it. It's not just general, just praying. Because Paul's involved in all this other stuff. And pray too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I have been chained. So, Paul, he has this opportunity to share with these people, and it's just not quite working out though. But he has this heart and this passion for these people, and it's like, so what does he do? He cries out. You see, he's doing these other things. He has this desire for the sharing of the gospel. And so that motivates his prayer life. And he gets other people to pray. Pray that this door will open. You see, it's not this isolated thing where you sit on the mountaintop and pray. It just doesn't work like that. It's in the mix. It's in the mix of all these other things. And worship, in a sense, is along the same lines. Worship is best woven into all these things of, you know, when there's this thankfulness and you're loving others and you're loving God's Word, it's like, whew, I just want to thank God. And this, how did God put all this together anyway? And how did He put this on my mind? And how, oh, I'm so, there's a worship that flows, and it flows out. And then if it's music, they get, then as soon as the music comes and there's a song that strikes you, it all just comes together. And you worship God. And God is pleased. God is pleased. And in conclusion, oh, you know what? I forgot one. I didn't write it on here because you have nothing to do with this next one. And if I wrote it here, you wouldn't go looking for it anyway. Trials. If you want to grow, Oh, you got to have some trials. But don't go looking for them, okay? They'll come find you. Acts 2:42. So all these things, you'll see all these things work in together just in these verses. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would put on our hearts and on our minds, communicate to us clearly, individually and together, what our next step is to grow in you and to be prepared for the things that you are calling us to. In Jesus' name, amen.